Over.
KWA, KD2VNG, morning.
Good morning, Glenn. What you up to?
Now just heading home. Get some cat food, maybe that's about it. You know, same thing as every other week, nowhere to go, nothing to do.
Didn't they open retail back up?
Have. That thrift store in Malden, I occasionally get some good things out of. That still has the sign up saying that they're closed. But, yeah, I don't know. It's possible. You know, I got nothing I want to buy anyway.
Opened up the beaches, too, but I'm not going to the beach because I fear the harpoons.
Plus, I think we're a good, 200 miles from the beach. Where would the nearest beach be? I guess Charleston or Myrtle Beach.
Yep. Well, I got to go down there to Charleston in June, so... Hey, it is what it is.
Lived in South Florida for so many years, I never spent that much time at the beach. I guess you always figure, you know, when you live someplace full time, you always figure, well, it'll be there, I can go next time. And, you know, I don't tolerate sun that much anyway. I'm a little too fair complexion for sun.
I hear you. Well, I've been over to Cooley Springs and bought my strawberries and tomatoes.
Growing already? No, they can't be. It's not even hard. Yeah, tomatoes this year would be coming from Florida or somewhere, probably.
They've got nice tomatoes in from Cooley Farms over here in Cooley Springs on Highway 11, and they look good.
I didn't know they grew this earlier in the year. This is still kind of early. See, again, when I lived in the South Florida region, we had tomatoes almost all year round. Because it was, you know, almost always growing season. All right, well, that's what I got to do then, is get farm fresh tomatoes.
Strawberries are fantastic this year. They're about double the size of my thumb, and they're really sweet.
Strawberries I haven't been able to get in a while. Yeah, that'd be good. Strawberries and what else might be? Yeah, you know, if you got strawberries and peaches maybe, or that's what I should do today is look to see if there's good produce.
Won't be in until June or July.
That's what I figured. But, okay, tomatoes are in. Curiously enough, I actually used to grow good tomatoes up north on Long Island. There was pretty good soil, and, you know, just till the soil, and I would plant them along the fence line, so I didn't have to... Tomatoes you got to put on stakes to hold the stems up, so I would just plant them to the fence, actually grew fairly well in that soil.
Where do you say you're living, in Malden?
I'm from Malden. I'm headed back to Graycourt. There's actually a pretty good little farmer's market right in Malden, right near the high school. I should have gone there on the way back.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not growing any of their own stuff anymore. They used to, but they don't anymore. They haven't in the last 5 or 6 years.
I mean, East Butler Road near the high school, and whatever other road that is, there's, I thought they were like a farmer's market or a co-op, but you say that not so much anymore.
No, they bring stuff in there from other places, they used to grow their own product there, but but they don't do it anymore. They just bring it in, just like the grocery stores do.
Might as well just deal with the grocery stores. Yeah, you know, it's been a while, so I almost forgot what an actual tomato tasted like. You know, to pull it right out of the ground and eat it. Tastes different than a store-bought one.
You bet. You're absolutely right. Ain't nothing better than a good homegrown tomato that's good, full, and ripe, and juicy, and... Matter of fact, I'm probably going to head home and have me a couple of tomato sandwiches here in just a little bit for lunch.
Southern thing, or maybe like an Alabama thing. Tomato sandwiches. Not bacon, lettuce, and tomato, just tomato. Slice up tomato, put it on a bread.
All the time when I was a kid, and I'm from Kentucky. A country thing.
Poor man's BLT sandwich. Well, we got no bacon. slice up some tomatoes and put them on a slice of bread. Actually, yeah, that would be as good as anything else. But that's what I'll do right now is I'll go produce shopping.
Now, see, I have corrupted you. I have planted the concept of fresh produce in your mind, and now you're going to have to turn around and go get some fresh tomatoes somewhere.
Being a city dweller and being and having fresh vegetables, that's not mutually exclusive. Actually, you'll find a bunch of farms on Long Island. And there was this one fruit store right near me that would get, you know, every week during the season, you'd have fresh tomatoes or fresh herbs or whatever it is they grew.
Folks down here think of Long Island. They sure don't think of any farms. All they think of is congestion, big city, Amityville, and the Hamptons.
That's where you're wrong. There's still a lot of farmland. You don't have to go that far outside the city. And New Jersey, same thing. I don't know what people think of when they think of New Jersey, but, you know, that's also farmland. If you go more, again, you gotta go more south.
I know a guy that was from the Pineys, down on the, Pine Flats.
Well, there you go. No, there's, even if you're in the New York City area, within half an hour or so, believe it or not, there's farms and produce within, not much more than half an hour from the city, if you feel like going out there.
Believe the half hour, but I believe there's farms out there on Long Island. Man, it takes an hour to get from New York City out to Comac.
Comac is Suffolk County. It's two-thirds of the way down the island, on the South Shore. Am I right? That's, almost, two-thirds of the way to the end.
No. That's only about a fourth of the way out. It's out there, it's not even as far as I slip.
Maybe I got something else in mind. But, you know, I slip is pretty far out, you know, let's see, Islip is, I know there's an airport there. There's Republic Airport, and there's a bigger airport. But even that's at least halfway down the island.
Hey, I wonder if they still do the demolition derby out at Islip, New York. Remember back in the old days on the ABC Wide World of Sports, they would cover the demolition derby figure eight out there? I used to love to watch that, watch those idiots crash into each other.
It was from, I never knew. I wasn't, you know, not that big a motorsports person, which, you know, I guess here is, you know, if you're not a NASCAR person, then they look at you funny.
Believe me, Bud, that was the old days. NASCAR now is nothing but big city marketing, and there's nothing stock car racing about it. All that's been gone for... Yeah, it's like everything else. Big city marketers got a hold of it. It's all flash and regulations now.
Might as well, if you're going to watch cars driving around, you might as well watch something like Formula One racing. You know, at least that's a car that's purpose-built to be a race car. And they race on real tracks that look like actual city streets, because in a lot of cases, that's what they are. You know, we blocked off downtown Monaco or whatever, and that's the racetrack.
We'll do that out in San Diego. They still do it in, let's see, I'm trying to think. There's one more city in the U.S. that still runs like that. I can't remember where it is. But yeah, that's pretty much, that's open wheel, unlimited Formula One racing. They're wide open.
You know, and let's not even pretend that we're trying to race stock cars, which you can, I guess nowadays you can modify almost everything, but yeah, you know, let's pretend we're not trying to stay within some arbitrary restrictions. You know, for Formula One, you can build pretty much anything you want, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a fact of the matter. But you got to admit, the stock car guys back in the, I believe it was the late 70s or mid 70s, they were topping 200 miles an hour long before the open wheel cars. And, you know, you make a mistake at above 200 miles an hour and it's, you know, I don't care what kind of crash protection you got around you, you're not going to make it. So I think that's part of why they slowed them down, put restrictor plates on and all that.
Did they regularly race? No, can you actually get those above 200 on a regular basis? Because that almost seems like you're coming up across some sort of physical limit as far as power versus mass versus aerodynamics.
Well, see, that's why they put the restrictor plates on. It was a safety issue. I don't know if you know that much about NASCAR, but one of the tracks, Talladega, man, they were topping 200 miles an hour on the straight stretches just on a regular basis. And, man, I tell you what, if they didn't have those cars set up just absolutely perfect, they'd fly.
Get them up that quickly, up to that kind of speed, that's one of those geometric functions where even if you double the engine power at up to a point, it only increases your speed maybe another 20 miles an hour.
I don't know the engineering numbers on it, but what I do know is they reduced the power of the engines with restrictor plates for the carburetors, and that's what got the speeds back down, and they all run the same restrictor plate. So, you know, even at that, there's drivers that die on the tracks at the lower speeds. So it's not the safest thing in the world, but hey, they're out there being crazy, so let them have at it.
You've got more steel around you than you do with a Formula One or anything, which is kind of like, you know, you're in a jet-powered lawn chair.
Believe it or not, a Formula One car and a NASCAR-ready approved car are very close to the same weight. They've got the weight, that's how they've kept the speed up in NASCAR, even with the restrictor plates, is with carbon fiber bodies and all that. And all those bodies are a shell.
So the NASCARs aren't all that much heavier, is what you're saying, because it's aluminum and carbon composites. And I don't know, fiberglass and whatever else.
Just tried to go over to carbon fiber because the carbon fiber is so much stronger than anything fiberglass. And I tell you what, they got some technology involved. It's just that it's not technology that can really be transferred to the street.
Cases. But, you know, that is one of the few. The auto racing world is almost, in a sense, like the space program. There is technology that does eventually transfer, you know, that in 10 years' time you will see on the street. I mean, even things that we've long had for decades on streetcars, things like fuel injection, things like, you know, computer-controlled, you know, electronic fuel injection, computer-controlled steering and braking and that sort of thing, anti-lock brakes, a lot of those things came out of Formula One or IndyCar or maybe NASCAR.
Well, listen, bud, I've destinated over here at Lowe's in Ballin Springs, and I'm going to go in and get the stays that I need so that I can put my solar-powered motion sensor floodlights up, and I'm hoping that that's going to keep the deer out of my tomatoes. So, all right, you take it easy, and I will talk to you later.
I'll talk to you in a bit. K82BNG, I'll be clear.
K4VWA, clear.